So the last time I invited Karen to join us, we pretty much focused on her past, her relationship with the past, and we explored that, asked a few questions, and then we ended up leading Karen to a place off that wibble. Remember where that wibble happened? Where she started questioning her whole reality and stuff like this. Personal breakthrough sessions are always going to be present moment focused. Are you with me? So, breakthrough sessions aren't about making peace with the past. It's not about setting goals or even casting a vision for the future. It's about making peace with where we are in the present. All right? And the reason why I say this is because if you can reflect back on some of the videos that I've shared, such as emotional time travel, how we and where and when we feel emotions and issues and problems is right here in the present. It's not like we're bothered about problems we had 10 years ago or 5 years ago. It's not like we're actually too concerned about what might be happening 6 months or a year from now. We only ever have issues right here, right now, in the present, because the present is all we actually ever have. It's kind of like life is just one big sequence and series of nows. Even if we had an issue going back 5 years ago or 10 years ago, that was still now back then. And in 6 months from now, if we even live that far, if we do encounter a problem, well, that's also going to be a problem we're experiencing now, just in 6 months from now. So yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, and today is a gift. Please excuse the cheesy cliche. But personal breakthroughs must always happen in the present and must always be focused on where a client is at and how we can help them to break through in their thinking today. All right, whilst looking forward to a goal or an aspiration or them becoming more of who it is they actually want to become. All right, so how I like to carry out breakthrough sessions is certainly not by focusing on problems or issues. And I know that many people do, but I would always suggest that when we encourage our clients or those people that we're working with to focus on problems or challenges, well, guess what? What we focus on, we feel. All right? So we want to be encouraging, as much as possible, our clients to be focusing on the positive, what they actually do want, instead upon what they don't want. Right, positive motivations instead of negative motivations, because it's the positive motivations that are really going to drive us forward in life. And I know, Karen, that you are looking forward to some things in the future, aren't you?
Yeah. I shared a wee bit previously about looking forward to becoming a stronger, better communicator. Public speaker, that's quite a big deal at the moment.
You're looking forward to that day in the future when you become a better, stronger public speaker?
Yes. Yeah.
But you know that person yet today?
It does feel like a little sense of inadequacy there, that I'm not quite that person yet today.
Where's that coming from?
Where's that coming from? It's just a feeling I'm having. That's it.
Is a feeling a truth? Is it true what you feel?
It's not true, no.
How do you know it's not true?
How do I know it's not true? So I guess I know that at any point I can be a confident communicator. The only thing that's actually holding me back is the fear beforehand of public speaking. If I apply myself in the moment, I'm actually fine. So really, it's just the feeling that's intimidating me, not the actual moment itself.
So in terms of the actual moment, yeah, being right now, what problems have you got right now?
I don't actually have a problem right now.
You don't have a problem right now?
No.
Are you likely to have a problem in the future? On a scale of 1 to 100? One, you're going to have no problem. 100, you're going to have massive, epic problems.
No, I think I'm probably around 10. It depends on how I manage myself in that moment.
10. What would it take to get from a 10 down to a 1 today?
That's a good question.
That's a response we kind of want. What would it take to get from a 10 down to a 1 today? Because it seems that that's the void that you have in your life right now.
It's the uncertainty I have, the uncertainty that I have about being able to manage myself well in the moment. It's causing me the area of doubt.
So what void is there, actually?
So there's actually not a void, it's just me practicing. It's just me practicing and becoming more familiar with situations that I'm uncomfortable with, so that I doubt myself less.
So what does this mean then?
This means that if I begin practicing more, then I'm going to become more certain of my own ability to communicate well and publicly and speak publicly. And the more that I do that, the less I'll even have this air of doubt within myself. So through practice.
Interesting. You learned how to do like online design and workbooks, didn't you? Mm-hmm. You became quite good at that, didn't you? Mm-hmm. How did you learn that?
I partially modelled some of the stuff you'd done in the past, and then experimented and practiced and worked out for myself.
How did you even learn how to speak?
The same process, I'd say, modelling, and then you work stuff out as you, well, you model your parents, and then you learn from everyone else around you as well, at school and, yeah.
Who would you say influenced you the most when you were growing up? Who would you say you would have modelled yourself on more than anyone else?
I would say it would be my mum. Yeah.
How effective or how good was she at doing what it is that you would like to be able to do more of?
That wasn't really her kind of thing, so she wouldn't really put herself into new situations much, or try new things. She was like, I don't ever remember her public speaking.
Was there a reason for this that you don't know of?
Saying that, I do remember one memory of her public speaking where she would get quite nervous for that kind of thing.
She would get quite nervous about speaking. Yeah. Interesting.
But that was a rarity. That's not something she would typically do. Was there a reason?
She would get quite nervous and apprehensive of speaking.
Yeah. Just because like me, it was unfamiliar to her. She wouldn't be. And typically, my mum would, she was a single mum, so she had 4 kids to take care of, and she's quite busy. She would never really have created time for herself to be involved in new activities or doing stuff that might challenge her or encourage her growth.
I'm just wondering if there's anything that you might have learned from her that's perhaps influenced how it is that you really put yourself out there today? Because we all have to learn from someone, don't we?
Yeah, well, there is a link. Yeah, I can see it.
There's a link?
Yeah.
Is there?
So my mum would prioritise in her life I have to explain practical stuff, daily life activities. She'd keep herself busy with tasks, and not really make time for new activities for herself or.
So she wouldn't make any time for doing new things.
No, no.
Doing things that she actually really wanted to do.
Certainly not back then, no. And in the same way, I'm quite comfortable in prioritising stuff that's familiar to me, but I'm not great at prioritising stuff that's not comfortable for me. And
i.e. stepping outside the comfort
zone.
Yeah,
and I'll easily just do the same things every day. The things I need to do, but they could take longer than they need to, or I'll end up committing to things that I don't need to be doing. And all of these are really excuses for not doing the things that I actually want to be doing or that would take me out of my comfort zone and encourage my own growth.
So how does this relate to shying away or holding back?
So shying away is the same as me happily working away behind the scenes, doing my everyday activities that I'm familiar with and comfortable with.
It's like the really practical stuff.
The practical stuff.
It's like kind of like similar to your mum.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's the same sort of
pattern.
Shy away and avoid the challenge, really.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that?
Yeah, never really made that link before. That shying away is the same as me sort of busying myself away and not doing the things I actually want to commit to.
You mentioned the link there. Who made that link?
I did. You asked the question, how does that relate, and then I made the link.
You've made the link. And now I'm just wondering if there's another link that you could actually benefit from making in relation to this that you haven't made yet.
I think there is something. There's an element of excuse involved.
Excuse?
Yeah.
What do you mean by excuse?
Like I've said that I shy away through lack of confidence or unfamiliarity, but at the same time I'll prioritise busyness or everyday activities, tasks, over some of the really important things that would encourage my own growth, which is almost like an excuse for not being confident enough to step out in the first place. So it's like I've kind of deceived myself into believing that I'm not confident enough, whereas really, really often, more often than not, I actually don't create space or time for these things anyway, because I'll prioritise other things over it.
I'm wondering if your fear is actually a fear of related to ability, or I'm wondering whether the main issue is actually apathy.
Yeah, I think you maybe hit the nail on the head there.
I'll just have a look and see. I mean, we don't want to be guessing here. We want to see if that's actually true or not. Because if there is, we can do something about apathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can't do anything about eventualities in the future, but we can do something about apathy today.
Yeah, no, that is true. I'm prioritising comfortable things, things that are within my comfort zone, over taking risks, is actually just apathy. I'm not taking the risks that I want to be taken, and I can do something about that.
where did you learn, or when did you learn to be so good at exercising apathy? When did you learn? When did you learn to not apply yourself in life? Because it seems that this might be a real anchor, a real sticking point for you.
Mm.
It seems that this is the trait that might really be holding you back from getting that breakthrough that you want to.
Yeah, I don't actually know.
Have a look and see.
I guess there is a link actually between apathy and a victim mindset where...
Victim mindset?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Where, and I've looked a bit at this already in my past, where after the time where I lost my dad, I did become the victim for a number of years, a long time. Oh, woe is me because I've lost a parent. Almost like an attention-seeking behaviour, looking for attention at school and stuff like that.
Waiting for someone to see you and give you attention.
Yeah,
notice and all
yeah, kind of waiting for a mum to give me more attention.
Waiting for a hero to come along.
Waiting for a hero, yeah.
Just out of interest, in every kind of drama triangle, and it's interesting you said victim, I understand if you're a victim, there's got to be a bad guy or a perpetrator.
Mm.
Just wondering who the bad guy was, who wronged you. All victims are victimised by someone, right?
Yeah.
Who was a bad guy?
I think in my beliefs it was...
Just in truth, who was a bad guy?
The world, God.
Really? Who else? If it had to be someone, who actually wronged you?
My mum on one level.
But on the main level?
I'm not sure if there's anyone else.
Who wronged you?
Oh, well, my dad. He left.
I don't know.
No, that's also true, yeah. Yeah, I've never really looked at it in that way, that the biggest part of that problem was him leaving and it was on him. Except it wasn't anything he could have done about that.
There's no point justifying anything, explaining.
No, but that was true for me.
Yeah, that's it.
That was true for me.
What's true for you? That's the most important thing here. What's actually true? It's just good to be honest sometimes, isn't it?
Hmm.
We can't... I had a conversation a few years with a young man who was quite angry at a lot of things. He was very, very angry at one of his parents. And I used to say to him, you know, you can't really move beyond something in life until you've accepted what's true, you know? And he said to me, you know, so how do you know what's true? And I said, well, you'll know what's true once you've accepted it and made peace with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just seems to me, all right, if I'm just doing my best to put together these pieces of this jigsaw puzzle, the apathy is actually the bad guy. Apathy is the enemy here.
Apathy is the enemy, yeah.
Apathy is the enemy. Apathy is the habit that you've...
Yeah, I've gotten into a habit of not taking risks, not putting myself out there, being comfortable.
Being comfortable. Is this responsibility or irresponsibility?
It's irresponsibility. Like I'm waiting for
a hero to come along.
To come and bring these things into my life that I want, which is never going to happen.
Is that like something that a dad should do? Is that something that your dad should have done?
Yeah. This is strange to talk about it like that because I was so young at the time that I wouldn't have. I've never considered really that I blamed him in any way for leaving, or that it was his fault, or that he. Like, I can't even really relate to what it's like to have a dad or that role in my life. But I hear what you say, that having, especially for a girl, having a dad come in and solve some of these problems is like the role of a dad. So I can relate to that.
But you never had that.
I can't relate to it from my own experience, but from an idea of what a dad could be, yeah.
So I'm just wondering now how it is that you'll start moving beyond this. How you start moving beyond this now, this limitation, this apathy. Because it does seem that this is what's actually holding you back from. I know that you obviously want to communicate, but that's not just in terms of speaking in groups. Want to be more forthcoming in your communications. I can only
Across the
imagine,
board,
right across the board, through all of your relationships, to really just speak freely, not hold back, be yourself, add value, that sort of thing. I can only imagine that's what you want.
that's what I want, yeah.
That's what you want. And what's historically come or cost you this?
My apathy, yeah.
Apathy. So apathy is the enemy. Dad was the perpetrator. How do we move beyond this today? What's step one?
Step one is owning the fact that it's apathy, not lack of confidence.
So it's not lack of confidence anymore, it's just apathy. How else would we define, or what other word could we use instead of apathy?
Laziness.
Laziness. How do you feel about lazy people?
I don't admire or have much respect for lazy people.
How much have you admired and respected yourself over the years?
Not much.
Not much.
No.
I'm wondering if this has been
That's why,
that's what, sorry?
That's why.
What is it you see now that you, what do you
So
see?
I don't admire and respect lazy people much. I don't have much admiration or respect for myself because of my laziness over the years.
And that has resulted in.
In me not actually prioritizing the things that I want in life, or the things that I'm good at, the things that I would admire about myself if I did them. That makes sense.
So what next? Where from here? Where from here? Appreciate this has been a tough conversation. All right. Where from here?
Where from here? I'm more aware now, everything that I, like, for example, all my activities or things that I prioritize in a day, unless I prioritize some of these out of the comfort zone activities, like they will never happen. I don't need to feel any more confident to do that. I just need to start reprioritizing.
So, what I understand is that, so we all have habits in life. Some of us have good habits, we have healthy habits, some of us have bad habits, and we all have a default mode, don't we? So it would seem to me that your lifetime habit since quite a young age has been apathy, one of holding back. So what's the new habit? What would the new habit be that you actually need to start integrating into your life right away? To replace, because if you remove one habit, you've got to replace it with something else right away and really work hard on that. And working hard is obviously very, very different from apathy. So, this is like a habit at the opposite end of the spectrum, isn't it?
So I need to immediately start prioritizing.
What role could I play as a life coach in helping you to ensure that the old habit is replaced with a new one?
By checking in on how much progress I'm making in terms of actually
It's kind of like accountability again.
accountability, how much I'm actually doing the public speaking that I want to, or putting myself out of my comfort zone.
Should we end this one here?
Yeah, that's fine, yeah.
As you can imagine, this is probably quite a tough conversation. And this is what a breakthrough session can look like, all right? We didn't want to hold back in this one. We wanted to go raw and show you how impacting it can be. It's not like a breakthrough session brings about, amazing transformation right away. What breakthrough is more about is us helping our clients to really up a level in their thinking, to look at their life and their current issues from a whole new perspective, which I think is what we've done here. So we're going to take a 5-minute break, me and Karen. She's going to probably want a little bit of fresh air. And then we're going to jump right back in and just have a conversation and just deconstruct this breakthrough session. So you can hear from Karen's perspective how this was for her and what the process was like. From my perspective, it wasn't like I had a script for this. All that I've really done is I've just taken the attitude towards Karen I want to understand. I'm just responding and asking questions in response to what Karen's sharing with me. All right. So it's not really a script for this. It's one of these things that we just get better at over time. But we'll end the video now. We'll invite back Karen in the next clip just to deconstruct what's just happened here. So I hope you found this interesting.